Blog Talk Radio.
Not a second or another minute, not an hour or another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make the way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right. I need you now, I need you now, I need you now, I need you now. Not another second, another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before, to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in me. I stretch my hand to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away.
Praise the Lord. God bless you and welcome to Maintain Ministries and Outreach. This is Prophetess Donna Holmes, and once again, it is a pleasure as always, and it is a privilege, oh God, to be before the Lord's people. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to share the Lord's word with you as always, and so we're going to open up in prayer and get right into the word. Father, I thank you. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for just being so gracious and so merciful and so kind. Lord God, you never fail in who you are as Lord, as Savior, as King, Almighty God. You are never failing. You are very much present in every situation and circumstances in which your children find themselves in, Lord God. Lord Father, and so I say thank you for just being our real daddy. Lord God, I thank you for being such a gracious and an awesome king, oh God, even when we don't feel it, oh God, in our emotional places. But Lord God, we have to know with everything in us that you are always present. You are always the Lord. You have never forsaken us. You've never turned your back on us, Lord God, when you could have and should have cast us away, Lord God, by your mercy and by your grace alone and your sovereignty. You found it fit to keep us, Lord God, in your sovereign grace. You found it in your heart to keep us because you wanted to, not because you had to, and surely we didn't deserve it. And so, Father, I say thank you. Thank you for who you are as Lord to us, who you are as God, as Father, as Savior, as King, as Provider, as Strength, as Help, oh God, the very source of everything from the very core of our being. You are the Lord. And I say, Father, have your way, Lord God, tonight. I ask you, Father, to come into this place, Lord. Lord Father, dwell and inhabit, oh God, the very richness of your word, Lord God. Let the heart speak, Lord God, what the Spirit of the Lord has to say tonight. Lord God, I ask that you open up the ears of your people, Lord God, that they may hear, that the eyes may see and receive in their heart what the Spirit of the Lord has to say tonight. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for being a keeping God, a saving God, a healing God. Lord God, and I just pray for your people tonight, Lord God, because there are many needs in the earth. And Lord God, your young people need you tonight, Lord Father. Your elderly people need you tonight, and everybody in between. So, Father, I ask you, Lord God, to just show up, Lord God, on our behalf. Show up in our midst. Strengthen us and quicken us and give us what we have need of to go on, Lord God, another day, to persevere and to press on beyond ourselves, oh God, and to move beyond who we are, to press into that place where you are, the Lord forever almighty. I just say thank you, Lord God. I ask your hand, Lord God, to move upon our hearts and just minister to us tonight, Lord God, as you see fit. And we'll be of a mindful to give you the glory and all the honor, Lord God, because it is due you and only you. I say thank you, God, and I give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. And I thank God for you tonight, Lord. And I just say, I've been thinking about some things, and I really just am so just filled with so many things in my spirit, and I just say, I just truly just desire the Lord to just have his way in my heart, in my mind, in my understanding, in the places that he's getting ready to take me, and the preparation that he's been preparing me for up until even now. And I find that within the circles of Christianity and those people that we come in contact with, and just the cares of life that cause us to be influenced and really kind of lead and guide our directions and the things that we think and how we think. Sometimes it has so much to do sometimes with the type of people that we hang around and the lifestyle that we live or the lack thereof, whatever it is that we do, and people, how they have an influence on us. And it says a lot about us, about the people that we hang around with. Says a lot about who we are and our understanding of who we are, as our character and our integrity and our relationships with people. It's shaped because of who we interact with, not just on the job or at home, but just in your personal time. When you're just by yourself sometimes, who is influencing you when you're by yourself? And that influence, and how does it affect your life, and how does it come in and cause you to make decisions? And so as I begin to think about the decisions that we make in our life, even as Christians, even as saved people, we have to come to a place where we have to make up our mind and decide, make a decision and decide, what are you going to do? Are you going to live for the Lord or are you not? Are you going to be faithful or are you not? Are you going to trust him or are you not? Are you going to listen to him or are you going to block your ears? The fact is, as our human nature, we want to be able to do both, and it's just not possible. You cannot straddle the fence in the spirit and be this today and something else tomorrow, be this hour and something else the next hour. You cannot do it. It causes you to open yourself up to a place of compromise. And compromise is not the Lord's will. And compromise causes us to place ourselves in such a confused place because our decisions are filled with compromise. Our decisions are made because of the instability that compromise brings in. And we can convince ourselves of anything that we want to believe because we want to compromise and put God in it. And again, the dividing line is either it's God or it's not. Either you are or you're not. Either you in or you out. Either you up or you down. Either way, there's no in between. So there has to be within us as individuals a place of decision. And your decision has everything to do with how you're going to follow through. Because, again, we want to say, just for instance, we contradict ourselves on a regular basis because we want to be this in God, but we don't have the faith enough to believe that he is going to be everything to us in order to prepare us and make us be what he's already intended for us to be. And so in the process, we will allow compromise to come in. And when you open that door to compromise, then your decisions are shaped because you failed to be steadfast in your understanding. Your mind has to be steadfast. Your heart has to be yielded. You must be surrendered, and you must decide either you will or you will not follow God. Either you are in him or you are not. Either you're going to trust him or you're not, but you cannot do both. And so as I was sitting this morning and I was praying and thinking about these things, and again, you know, the flesh wants to get offended by things, and then before you know it, not only is the flesh offended, but then you want to get defensive with your offense, and you want to protect yourself, and you want to build up layers of protection that are really just hardened places that you steel yourself into that nobody can even reach, even God, because, again, the flesh will have you compromise and think that that's godly, to have you think that that's a decision that you should make because God told you to, and that is just not the case. That's just you wanting to protect yourself because you offended, your feelings is hurt, and because your feelings is hurt, now you want to defend your feelings and build a brick wall up around you and your feelings. And not let nobody in, not even God, where God can come in and heal that place and minister to that place and deliver you from that and allow you to grow from it and take it somewhere else and use it as a tool to minister to somebody else with that very thing that you want to defend because you offended and your feelings is hurt. So as I was reading the word and praying about these things this morning, I was looking at Matthew chapter 11, and first of all, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, and it reads as follows. It says, do not think, and this is the Lord speaking, this is Jesus. It says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. And that right there, it says a lot. And again, looking at it from a spiritual sense, because as a body of believers, we are family. As believers in the same God, the only true and the living God, that unites us and brings us into the family of faith, the family of God, who is our Father and we are his children. So everything that we do, every decision we make, affects each and every one of our siblings in this great body. And so again, the ones a man's enemies will be those of his own household, which means those closest to you, your family in Christ, your loved ones, the body, those that you are connected to will be the ones that devastate you the most. Those will be your enemies when they should be those who come alongside you and walk with you. These are the people that will cause you to be indifferent and indecisive and cause you to make poor decisions because of those that are closest to you. Because, again, it's a wound that opens up when those closest to you hurt you deeply. The wound opens up, and it's an open wound that only the Lord can heal, because if it's not taken care of, if it's not addressed, it stays open. It becomes infected. And it comes infected with compromise. It comes infected with reasoning. It comes infected. It becomes infected because we want it to be what we want it to be, and it's not healed. And in the process, it's an open wound, a gaping open wound that has not been attended to. It has not been bandaged up. It has not been addressed. And it's just left open for so much to come in and out of it, to contaminate that which is already damaged. I won't say destroyed, because we know God is able to fix it. But you have to allow the Lord to fix it. You have to make up your mind that you desire the Lord more than your necessary food. You have to desire the Lord and make a decision to desire him. It's not about saying it with your mouth, but your heart is far from him. It's about a decision, and the decision is yours, because, again, the decision to receive the Lord is left up to us. He's already made everything available to us, but we have to decide that we want him, because he's not going to force himself on us. But in the decision, when you have made the decision that Jesus is Lord of your life forever, you no longer have control. You have decided to surrender your all to him, and everything else is minute, secondary, as far as that is concerned. It's all about him and nothing else. And so we have to come into that place of decision to understand that, as the scripture reads on, it says in verse 37, it says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And you know, we love our families. We love those that are close to us. We love our friends. We have friends we love. But again, if you put these, if you make the decision to love these more than you love God, then you surely cannot follow after God with a heart for God, because you love something or someone more than him. It's not to say that we're not to love those that we love, but if you put that love above the love of Christ, then you're not even able to function in him with what he's put in you, because you can't give him what you don't have. If you don't have a love for him that is far greater and far exceeding a love for family, you'll never be able to serve him with the kind of love that he has in his heart for his children, because he loves us so unconditionally. He loves us. He made the decision, and he did what was necessary to show us the love that he has for us. And we have to make the decision to reciprocate, to do exactly that, to love him back. It's a decision. It's something that you take upon yourself and decide. Now, you know, we decide everything that we do. We decide to eat. We decide it tastes good. We decide to eat more. We decide that. But then when we're left with the result that we don't want, who fought at that? That was a decision that we made. That's a decision that we have to live with, and we can't blame nobody for the decisions and the choices that we make. So, and it reads on as follows, and it says, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And it's just, you know, it's such a profound scripture. We hear it preached and ministered all the time. But the full depth of that is genuinely a decision. Coming to a place of decision. And this hour, we are full of decision. We need to make up our minds. We need to get in a place and a position in the Lord where we can be effective by making the decision to follow after him and stay in him and allow him to have his way in us. That's the only way the outcome is going to be what he intends for it to be. He's coming back for a pure bride. Surely right now he can't come back for that because it's not pure. It's dysfunctional, it's crippled, it's empty, it's broken, it's disabled, it's ineffective. But this is the body of Christ we're talking about, the perfect lamb. So that's an oxymoron. It just don't make no sense for we to be able to call ourselves the body of Christ and be out of his will, out of his character, out of his nature, and call ourselves followers, disciples of Christ. So, again, it has everything to do with your decision. What do you choose to follow after, and who do you choose to follow after? What is your decision, and what are the results of your decision? So, as I was reading about John in chapter 11 of Matthew, and it says in verse number 1, it reads as follows. It says, "Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities." So he went to his disciples' cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent his two of his disciples, and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And we hear this one preached a lot as well. And the revelation that comes from this, it has a lot to do with the season that we're in, because people are going through so many things, struggling to stay and stand in the will and in the way of the Lord through the circumstances and through the turmoil, through the hurt, through the pain. But yet you served him up until this point, and you knew then who he is now. But now it's a decision to question. What makes you get to that point in your life that you will question who God is? After all of these years and after all of this time, in John's case, he's in prison and he's hearing about the miracles, and yet he was the very one, the trailblazer, the front man, the only one who was preparing the way in the wilderness. And now that the way has come, he has questions. So emotionally, he is touched somewhere in his emotions that will cause him to be broken enough to even question it. The fact is, now his assignment is over, and he's left with nothing else to do because he's done his part. So he's left empty. Even though he's in prison, now his assignment is over. Surely he's at the place of death, but he didn't necessarily know he was going to be dying right then. But the fact is, he has a question about whether or not the Savior is genuinely the Savior. When he was the one who prepared the way, he laid the foundation for Christ to come on in. And now that he's come on in, now he has questions, the decision, the compromise in his mind, in his thoughts, in his understanding. Something has come in to cause him to second guess what he's known all of his days, and every one of his days, not just some of them, because from his very conception, he leaped in his mother's womb at the presence of Christ, so he knew who he was. And so the fact that he could even make a decision to ask the question, something within him caused him to be uneasy enough to question whether or not the Savior was really the Savior, or do we look for another? Oh, my God. Lord, we are in a place we must make the decision to be steadfast on who we trust, who we know to be God, and believe in him and know that he alone is God. We shall serve him, and there shall be no other God above him. There is no other God. He is God, and we shall have no other God above him, none. That is a decision. That is a place of wisdom and understanding that we must walk in. And again, as we read on, it says, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? He had already saw the coming one go in the wilderness. But now that he's in prison, he has to send his two of his disciples to go and ask questions for him. The decision has to be made for his two disciples to now become disciples of Christ. Because, again, John's assignment is over. Sometimes we get to a place where in our decision-making, in the things of God, sometimes your season is just up in certain situations. Sometimes your assignment is just up, and you're left in a place where you're like, what do I do now? So you decide that you want to keep doing something that you are no longer assigned to. Decisions that will cause you to suffer unnecessarily because you didn't have to suffer because you wanted to be disobedient, because you wanted to make a decision to do what you thought was good, because everything that seems like a good decision ain't necessarily good for you at that moment. You have to know exactly who you are, where you are, and what it is you're supposed to be doing. And then you have to not allow compromise to come in or anybody else to come in and convince you that this is not what you're supposed to be doing, because, again, it's the decision. If God put it on you, you must decide to obey him and decide to stand and not be convinced otherwise, like Eve in the garden. She know what God told her. She know what God told her husband. And she let the devil convince her of what she knew she heard with her own ears from God himself. And Satan can come in and cause her to make a decision that changed the entire road map for everyone's life. But yet God is still able in the midst of it all to take our bad decisions and turn them into testimonies and tests and trials and journeys and places to shape us and make us into testimonies and vessels to be used by him still. And yet there's a place where suffering is unnecessary. You don't have to suffer because of a decision that you chose to make, because you wanted to do it outside of the will of God. You wanted to do it your way. You wanted to walk in your own decision. And so when you get the result of your own decisions, there's no need for you to be shocked. You should find it in your heart to come before God and realize that your decisions are what got you in that predicament. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for who you are as Lord, as Savior, as our Almighty, Lord God, Almighty. Father, we make the decision tonight. I make the decision tonight to follow after you. I make the decision, Lord God, to yield my life to you and surrender. I make the decision, Lord God, to trust you and to obey you completely. And totally in every way, in every place, and in every action, in every deed of my life. You are the Lord who has created all the universe. Everything in it belongs to you, and you alone are able, oh God, to do all things. And I trust you, and I obey you, Lord God, and I make that decision. I declare it for my life. I have decided to follow Jesus for the rest of my days. It is a decision. I gladly receive it. I'm glad to be saved. I pray, Lord God, that your children come to an understanding that this is not a time to be playing, wasting time and energy and life living outside of your will. We are not promised the next breath. We have no time whatsoever to play around with the life that the Lord has given unto us. Father, lead us and direct us in the ways that you would have us to go. Minister to our hearts, our minds, and our understanding. Give us what we have need of, O God, to move beyond the flesh, to move beyond our current circumstances, and to press in beyond, O God, what we know and what we see in this hour, Lord God, into the very presence of the Lord. Father, you are the Lord who is with us. You are the Lord who is from everlasting, and you are to everlasting. You are God. And I bless your name tonight, God, and I just ask you to come in. Come in and show yourself, oh God, as who you are in our lives, in our hearts, in our families, in our needs, Lord God. Everything that we are, you are the Lord of it all. I bless you tonight, Father, and I ask that you would just minister to each and every heart, mind, and soul of your people tonight, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, the healing virtue of the Lord just flow into hospital rooms and homes and families, Lord God, where you can mend the brokenness, Lord God. You can make straight those paths that are off, Lord God. You can, Lord God, balance those things where the scales, Lord God, are not balanced, Lord Father. I just ask that you would just come in and touch and heal and direct. Speak, Lord God. Let your spirit move, O God, and let us follow after you. Lord God, surely this is the time and the season to be sensitive to you. Help us to have eyes, ears, and a heart to receive, Lord God, where you are leading us in this hour. What is your desire for us right now? I say thank you, Lord God, for being everything to us and so much more. So much more. You are so much more. Have your way, O God, as only you can, and surely I'll be ever mindful to give you the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, because it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. I bless you, Lord God, and I thank you for your people tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, I say thank you, Lord God, and amen, and amen, and amen. Please be encouraged, my brother. Please be encouraged, my sister. Please know that the decision is yours, and in that decision, you can know that God loves you with an everlasting love. If you receive him, you would not have to live loveless again. Receive him and know his love, and know his love as a pure and a real place dwelling on the inside of you. Know that he loves you with an everlasting love, and I do too. God bless you until next time.
Listen, no man knows the day or the hour when the Lord shall return. Things are happening out. Listen, no man knows the day or the hour when the Lord shall return. Things are happening hour by hour, minute by minute, even second by second, which lets us know that the signs show that God is coming soon. So you better get ready. You better get right. For it could be any day.
Could be any day now. And we'll be going home. Maybe morning, night, or
real soul. Set aside to return with God and accept him as he is, King of Kings and Lord.